She'd forgotten how fast he moved, soft as a cat, quick as water. "Are you insane?" he hissed. "They've broken down the front door. This place will be full of Forsaken." She shoved at him. "Let me out!" Jace held her back with a grip like iron. "So they can tear you apart? Not a chance." A loud clash of metal sounded behind her. Clary pulled away from Jace and saw that Valentine had struck at Luke, who met his blow with an ear-shattering parry. Their blades ground apart, and now they were moving across the floor in a blur of feints and slashes. "Oh my God," she whispered. "They're gonna kill each other." Jace's eyes were nearly black. "You don't understand," he said. "This is how it's done." He broke off and sucked in a breath as Luke slipped past Valentine's guard, catching him a blow across the shoulder. Blood flowed freely, staining the cloth of his white shirt. Valentine threw back his head and laughed. "A true hit," he said. "I hardly thought you had it in you, Lucian." Luke stood very straight, the knife blocking his face from Clary's view. "You taught me that move yourself." "But that was years ago," said Valentine in a voice like raw silk. "And since then you've hardly had need of a knife, have you? Not when you have claws and fangs at your disposal. All the better to tear your heart out with." Valentine shook his head. "You tore my heart out years ago," he said, and even Clary could not tell if the sorrow in his voice was real or feigned. "When you betrayed and deserted me." Luke struck at him again, but Valentine was moving swiftly back across the floor. For a big man, he moved surprisingly lightly. "It was you who turned my wife against her own kind. You came to her when she was weakest, with your piteousness, your helpless need. I was distant, and she thought you loved her. She was a fool." Jace was taut as a wire beside Clary. She could feel his tension, like the sparks given off by a downed electrical cable. "That's your mother Valentine's talking about," she said. "She abandoned me," said Jace. "Some mother." "She thought you were dead. You want to know how I know that? Because she kept a box in her bedroom. It had your initials on it, JC." "So she had a box," said Jace. "Lots of people have boxes. They keep things in them. It's a growing trend, I hear. It had a lock of your hair in it. Baby hair. And a photograph, maybe two. She used to take it out every year and cry over it. Awful, broken-hearted crying." Jace's hand clenched at his side. "Stop it," he said between his teeth. "Stop what? Telling you the truth? She thought you had died. She'd never have left you if she'd known you were alive. You thought your father was dead. I saw him die. Or I thought I did. I didn't just hear about it and choose to believe it." "She found your burned bones," said Clary quietly, "in the ruins of her house, along with the bones of her mother and father." At last, Jace looked at her. She saw the disbelief plain in his eyes and around his eyes, the strain of maintaining that disbelief. She could see, almost as if she saw through a glamour, the fragile construct of his faith in his father that he wore like a transparent armor, protecting him from the truth. Somewhere, she thought, there was a chink in that armor, somewhere. If she could find the right words, it could be breached. "That's ridiculous," he said. "I didn't die. There weren't any bones." "There were." "So it was a glamour," he said roughly. "Ask your father what happened to his mother and father-in-law," said Clary. She touched his hand. "Ask him if that was a glamour too." "Shut up!" Jace's control cracked, and he turned on her, livid. Clary saw Luke glance toward them, startled by the noise, and in that moment of distraction, Valentine dove under his guard and with a single forward thrust drove the blade of his sword into Luke's chest just below his collarbone. Luke's eyes flew open as if in astonishment rather than pain. Valentine jerked his hand back, and the blade slid back, stained red to the hilt. With a sharp laugh, Valentine struck again, this time knocking the weapon from Luke's hand. It hit the floor with a hollow clang, and Valentine kicked it hard, sending it skittering under the table as Luke collapsed. Valentine raised the black sword over Luke's prone body, ready to deliver the killing stroke. Inlaid silvery stars gleamed along the blade's length, and Clary thought, frozen in a moment of horror, how could anything so deadly be so beautiful? Jace, as if knowing what Clary was going to do before she did it, whirled on her. "Clary!" The frozen moment passed. Clary twisted away from Jace, ducking his reaching hands, and raced across the stone floor to Luke. He was on the floor, supporting himself with one arm. Clary threw herself on him just as Valentine's sword drove downward. She saw Valentine's eyes as the sword hurtled toward her. It seemed like eons, though it could only have been a split second. She saw that he could stop the blow if he wanted. Saw that he knew it might well strike her if he didn't. Saw that he was going to do it anyway. She threw her hands up, squeezing her eyes shut. There was a clang. She heard Valentine cry out, and she looked up to see him holding his empty sword hand, which was bleeding. The red-hilted kindle lay several feet away on the stone floor next to the black sword. Turning in astonishment, she saw Jace by the door, his arms still raised, and realized he must have flung the dagger with enough force to knock the black sword out of his father's hand. Very pale, he slowly lowered his arm, his eyes on Valentine, wide and pleading. "Father, I..." Valentine looked at his bleeding hand, and for a moment, Clary saw a spasm of rage across his face, like a light flickering out. His voice, when he spoke, was mild. "That was an excellent throw, Jace." Jace hesitated. "But your hand, I just thought..." "I would not have hurt your sister," said Valentine, moving swiftly to retrieve both his sword and the red-hilted kindle, which he stuck through his belt. "I would have stopped the blow, but your family concern is commendable." Liar. But Clary had no time for Valentine's prevarications. She turned to look at Luke and felt a sharp, nauseous pang. Luke was lying on his back, eyes half closed, his breathing ragged. Blood bubbled up from the hole in his torn shirt. "I need a bandage," Clary said in a choked voice. "Some cloth, anything." "Don't move, Jonathan," said Valentine in a steely voice, and Jace froze where he was, hand already reaching toward his pocket. "Clarissa," her father said in a voice as oily as steel slicked with butter, "this man is an enemy of our family, an enemy of the Clave. We are hunters, and that means sometimes we are killers. Surely you understand that." "Demon hunters," said Clary. "Demon killers. Not murderers. There's a difference." "He is a demon, Clarissa," said Valentine, still in the same soft voice. "A demon with a man's face. I know how deceptive such monsters can be. Remember, I spared him once myself."
"Monster," echoed Clary.
She thought of Luke. Luke pushing her on the swings when she was 5 years old. Higher, always higher. Luke at her graduation from middle school, camera clicking away like a proud father's. Luke sorting through each box of books as it arrived at his store, looking for anything she might like and putting it aside. Luke lifting her up to pull apples down from the trees near his farmhouse. Luke, whose place as her father this man was trying to take.
"Luke isn't a monster," she said in a voice that matched Valentine's steel for steel. "Or a murderer. You are."
"Clary!" It was Jace. Clary ignored him. Her eyes were fixed on her father's cold black ones.
"You murdered your wife's parents, not in battle, but in cold blood," she said.
"And I bet you murdered Michael Wayland and his little boy, too. Threw their bones in with my grandparents so that my mother would think you and Jace were dead. Put your necklace around Michael Wayland's neck before you burned him, so everyone would think those bones were yours. After all your talk about the untainted blood of the Clave, you didn't care at all about their blood or their innocence when you killed them, did you? Slaughtering old people and children in cold blood? That's monstrous." Another spasm of rage contorted Valentine's features.
"That's enough!"
Valentine roared, raising the black star sword again, and Clary heard the truth of who he was in his voice. The rage that had propelled him all his life. The unending, seething rage.
"Jonathan, drag your sister out of my way, or by the angel, I'll knock her down to kill the monster she's protecting."
For the briefest moment, Jace hesitated. Then he raised his head.
"Certainly, Father," he said and crossed the room to Clary.
Before she could throw up her hands to ward him off, he had caught her up roughly by the arm.
He yanked her to her feet, pulling her away from Luke.
Chase,
she whispered, appalled. Don't, he said. His fingers dug painfully into her arms. He smelled of wine and metal and sweat. Don't talk to me.
But,
I said, don't talk. He shook her hard. She stumbled, regaining her footing, and looked up to see Valentine standing, gloating over Luke's crumpled body. He reached out a fastidious booted toe and shoved Luke, who made a choking sound.
Leave him alone! Clary shouted, trying to yank herself out of Jace's grasp.
It was useless. He was much too strong.
Stop it, he hissed in her ear. You'll just make it worse for yourself. It's better if you don't look.
Like you do, she hissed back. Shutting your eyes and pretending something's not happening doesn't make it not true, Jace. You ought to know better.
Clary, stop.
His tone almost brought her up short. He sounded desperate. Valentine was chuckling.
If only I had thought, he said, to bring with me a blade of real silver, I could have dispatched you in the true manner of your kind, Lucian.
Luke snarled something Clary couldn't hear. She hoped it was rude. She tried to twist away from Jace. Her feet slipped and he caught her, yanking her back with agonizing force. He had his arms around her, she thought, but not the way she had once hoped, not as she had ever imagined.
At least let me get up, said Luke. Let me die on my feet.
Valentine looked at him along the length of the blade and shrugged.
You can die on your back or on your knees, he said. But only a man deserves to die standing, and you are not a man.
No!
Clary shouted as, not looking at her, Luke began to pull himself painfully into a kneeling position.
Why do you have to make it worse for yourself? Jace demanded in a low, tense whisper. I told you not to look.
She was panting with exertion and pain.
Why do you have to lie to yourself?
I'm not lying.
His grip on her tightened savagely, though she hadn't tried to pull away. I just want what's good in my life. My father, my family, I can't lose it all again. Luke was kneeling upright now. Valentine had raised the blood-stained sword. Luke's eyes were closed and he was murmuring something. Words, a prayer, Clary didn't know. She twisted in Jace's arms, wrenching around so that she could look up into his face. His lips were drawn thin, his jaw set, but his eyes. The fragile armor was breaking. It needed only a last push from her. She struggled for the words.
You have a family, she said. Family, those are just the people who love you, like the Lightwoods love you. Alec, Isabel.
Her voice cracked.
Luke is my family, and you're going to make me watch him die just like you thought you watched your father die when you were 10 years old? Is that what you want, Jace? Is this the kind of man you want to be? Like...
She broke off, suddenly terrified that she'd gone too far.
Like my father, he said.
His voice was icy, distant, flat as the blade of a knife. I've lost him, she thought despairingly.
Get down, he said, and pushed her hard.
She stumbled, fell to the ground, rolled onto one knee. Kneeling upright, she saw Valentine raise his sword high over his head. The glow from the chandelier overhead exploding off the blade sent brilliant points of light stabbing into her eyes.
Luke!
She shrieked. The blade slammed home, into the floor. Luke was no longer there. Jace, having moved faster than Clary would have thought possible, even for a shadow hunter, had knocked him out of the way, sending him sprawling to the side. Jace stood facing his father over the quivering hilt of the sword, his face white, but his gaze steady.
I think you should leave, Jace said.
Valentine stared incredulously at his son.
What did you say?
Luke had pulled himself into a sitting position. Fresh blood stained his shirt. He stared as Jace reached out a hand and gently, almost disinterestedly, caressed the hilt of the sword that had been driven into the floor.
I think you heard me, father.
Valentine's voice was like a whip. Jonathan Morganstern! Quick as lightning, Jace seized the hilt of the sword, tore it free from the floorboards, and raised it. He held it lightly, level and flat, the point hovering a few inches below his father's chin.
That's not my name, he said. My name is Jace Wayland.
Valentine's eyes were still fixed on Jace. He barely seemed to notice the sword at his throat.
Wayland? He roared. You have no Wayland blood. Michael Wayland was a stranger to you.
So, said Jace calmly, are you.
He jerked the sword to the left.
Now move.
Valentine was shaking his head.
Never. I will not take orders from a child.
The tip of the sword kissed Valentine's throat. Clary stared in fascinated horror.
I am a very well-trained child, Jace said. You instructed me yourself in the precise art of killing. I only need to move 2 fingers to cut your throat. Did you know that?
His eyes were steely.
I suppose you did.
You're skilled enough, said Valentine. His tone was dismissive, but Clary noticed he was standing very still indeed.
But you could not kill me. You have always been soft-hearted.
Perhaps he couldn't. It was Luke on his feet now, pale and bloody but upright.
But I could, and I'm not entirely sure he could stop me.
Valentine's feverish eyes flicked to Luke and back to his son. Jace hadn't turned when Luke spoke, but stood still as a statue, the sword unmoving in his hand.
You hear the monster threatening me, Jonathan? Said Valentine. You side with it?
It has a point, said Jace mildly. I'm not entirely sure I could stop him if he wanted to do you damage.
Werewolves heal so fast.
Valentine's lip curled.
So, he spat. Like your mother, you prefer this creature, this half-bred demon thing to your own blood, your own family.
For the first time, the sword in Jace's hand seemed to tremble.
You left me when I was a child, he said in a measured voice. You let me think you were dead, and you sent me away to live with strangers. You never told me I had a mother, a sister. You left me alone.
The word was a cry. I did it for you, to keep you safe, Valentine protested. If you cared about Jace, if you cared about blood, you wouldn't have killed his grandparents. You murdered innocent people, Clary cut in, furious.
Innocent, snapped Valentine. No one is innocent in a war. They sided with Jocelyn against me. They would have let her take my son from me.
Luke let out a hissing breath.
You knew she was going to leave you, he said. You knew she was going to run, even before the uprising.
Of course I knew, roared Valentine. His icy control had cracked, and Clary could see the molten rage seething underneath, coiling the tendons in his neck, clenching his hands into fists.
I did what I had to protect my own, and in the end, I gave them more than they ever deserved. The funeral pyre awarded only to the greatest warriors of the Clave.
You burned them, said Clary flatly.
Yes, shouted Valentine. I burned them.
Jace made a strangled noise.
My grandparents.
You never knew them, said Valentine. Don't pretend to a grief you do not feel.
The point of the sword was trembling more rapidly now. Luke put a hand on Jace's shoulder.
Steady, he said.
Jace didn't look at him. He was breathing as if he had been running. Clary could see the sweat shimmering on the sharp divide of his collarbones, sticking his hair to his temples. The veins were visible along the backs of his hands. He's going to kill him, she thought. He's going to kill Valentine. She stepped forward hastily.
Jace, we need the cup, or you know what he'll do with it.
Jace licked his dry lips.
The cup, father, where is it?
In Idris, said Valentine calmly, where you will never find it.
Jace's hand was shaking.
Tell me. Give me the sword, Jonathan.
It was Luke, his voice calm, even kind.
Jace sounded as if he were speaking from the bottom of a well.
What?
Clary took a step forward.
Give Luke the sword. Let him have it, Jace.
He shook his head.
I can't do that.
She took another step forward. One more and she'd be close enough to touch him.
Yes, you can. She said gently, please.
He didn't look at her. His eyes were locked on his father's. The moment stretched out and out, interminable. At last he nodded, curtly, without lowering his hand. But he did let Luke move to stand beside him and place his hand over Jace's on the hilt of the blade.
You can let go now, Jonathan,
Luke said, and then, seeing Clary's face, amended himself. Jace. Jace seemed not to have heard him. He released the hilt and moved away from his father. Some of Jace's color had come back, and he was now a shade more like putty, his lip bloody where he'd bitten it. Clary ached to touch him, put her arms around him, knew he'd never let her. "I have a suggestion," said Valentine to Luke in a surprisingly even tone. "Let me guess," said Luke. "It's don't kill me, isn't it?" Valentine laughed, a sound without any humor in it. "I would hardly lower myself to ask you for my life," he said. "Good," said Luke, nudging the other man's chin with his blade. "I'm not going to kill you unless you force my hand, Valentine. I draw the line at murdering you in front of your own children. What I want is the cup." The roaring downstairs was louder now. Clary could hear what sounded like footsteps in the corridor outside. "Luke." "I hear it," he snapped. "The cup's in Idris, I told you," said Valentine, his eyes shifting past Luke. Luke was sweating. "If it's in Idris, you use the portal to bring it there. I'll go with you, bring it back." Luke's eyes were darting. There was more movement in the corridor outside now, sounds of shouting, of something shattering. "Clary, stay with your brother. After we go through, you use the portal to take you to a safe place." "I won't leave here," said Jace. "Yes, you will." Something thudded against the door. Luke raised his voice. "Valentine, the portal, move." "Or what?" Valentine's eyes were fixed on the door with a considering look. "I'll kill you if you force my hand," Luke said. "In front of them or not. The portal, Valentine, now." Valentine spread his hands wide. "If you wish." He stepped lightly backward just as the door exploded inward, hinges scattering across the floor. Luke ducked out of the way to avoid being crushed by the falling door, turning as he did so, the sword still in his hand. A wolf stood in the doorway, a mountain of growling, brindled fur, shoulders hunched forward, lips curled back over snarling teeth. Blood ran from innumerable gashes in his pelt. Jace was swearing softly, a seraph blade already in his hand. Clary caught at his wrist. "Don't. He's a friend." Jace shot her an incredulous glance but lowered his arm. "Alaric." Luke shouted something then in a language Clary didn't understand. Alaric snarled again, crouching closer to the floor, and for a confused moment she thought he was going to hurl himself at Luke. Then she saw Valentine's hand at his belt, the flash of red jewels, and realized that she had forgotten that he still had Jace's dagger. She heard a voice shout Luke's name, thought it was her own, then realized that her throat seemed glued shut, and that it was Jace who had shouted. Luke slewed around, excruciatingly slowly it seemed, as the knife left Valentine's hand and flew toward him, like a silver butterfly, turning over and over in the air. Luke raised his blade, and something huge and tawny gray hurtled between him and Valentine. She heard Alaric's howl, rising, suddenly cut off, heard the sound as the blade struck. She gasped and tried to run forward, but Jace pulled her back. The wolf crumpled at Luke's feet, blood spattering his fur. Feebly, with his paws, Alaric clawed at the hilt of the knife protruding from his chest. Valentine laughed. "And this is how you repay the unquestioning loyalty you bought so cheaply, Lucian?" he said. "By letting them die for you?" He was backing up, his eyes still on Luke. Luke, white-faced, looked at him and then down at Alaric, shook his head once and dropped to his knees, leaning over the fallen werewolf. Jace, still holding Clary by the shoulders, hissed, "Stay here. You hear me? Stay here," and set off after Valentine, who was hurrying inexplicably toward the far wall. Did he plan to throw himself out the window? Clary could see his reflection in the big gold-framed mirror as he neared it, and the expression on his face, a sort of sneering relief, filled her with a murderous rage. "Like hell I will," she muttered, moving to follow Jace. She paused only to grab the blue-hilted kindle from the floor beneath the table where Valentine had kicked it. The weapon in her hand felt comfortable now, reassuring, as she pushed a fallen chair out of her way and approached the mirror. Jace had the seraph blade out, its light casting a hard illumination upward, darkening the circles under his eyes, the hollows of his cheeks. Valentine had turned and stood outlined in its light, his back against the mirror. In its surface, Clary could also see Luke behind them. He had set his sword down and was pulling the red-hilted kindle out of Alaric's chest, gently and carefully. She felt sick and gripped her own blade more tightly.
"Jace," she began.
He didn't turn to look at her, though of course he could see her in the mirror's reflection.
"Clary, I told you to wait."
"She's like her mother," said Valentine. One of his hands was behind him. He was running it along the edge of the mirror's heavy gilt frame.
"Doesn't like to do what she's told."
Jace wasn't shaking as he had been earlier, but Clary could sense how thin his control had been stretched, like the skin over a drum.
"I'll go with him to Idris, Clary. I'll bring the cup back."
"No, you can't," Clary began and saw in the mirror how his face twisted.
"Do you have a better idea?" he demanded.
"But Luke..."
"Lucien," said Valentine in a voice like silk, "is attending to a fallen comrade. As for the cup and Idris, they are not far. Through the looking glass, one might say."
Jace's eyes narrowed.
"The mirror is the portal?"
Valentine's lips thinned, and he dropped his hand, moving back from the mirror as the image in it swirled and changed like watercolors running in a painting. Instead of the room with its dark wood and candles, now Clary could see green fields, the thick emerald leaves of trees, and a wide meadow sweeping down to a large stone house in the distance. She could hear the buzzing sound of bees and the rustle of leaves in wind, and smell of the honeysuckle carried on the wind.
"I told you it was not far."
Valentine stood in what was now a gilt-arched doorway, his hair stirring in the same wind that ruffled the leaves on the distant trees.
"Is it as you remember it, Jonathan? Has nothing changed?"
Clary's heart clenched inside her chest. She had no doubt this was Jace's childhood home, presented to tempt him as you might tempt a child with candy or a toy. She looked toward Jace, but he didn't seem to see her at all. He was staring at the portal and the view beyond it of the green fields and the manor house. She saw his face soften, the wistful curve of his mouth as if he were looking at someone he loved.
"You can still come home," said his father.
The light from the seraph blade that Jace held threw his shadow backward so it seemed to move across the portal, darkening the bright fields, the meadow beyond. The smile faded from Jace's mouth.
"That's not my home," he said. "This is my home now."
A spasm of fury twisting his features, Valentine looked at his son. She would never forget that look. It made her feel a sudden wild longing for her mother. Because no matter how angry her mother had been with her, Jocelyn had never looked at her like that. She had always looked at her with love. If she could have felt more pity for Jace than she already did, she would have felt it then.
"Very well," said Valentine, and took a swift step back through the portal so that his feet struck the earth of Idris.
His lips curled into a smile. "Ah," he said, "home."
Jace stumbled to the edge of the portal before stopping, a hand against the gilt frame. A strange hesitation seemed to have taken hold of him, even as Idris shimmered before his eyes like a mirage in the desert. It would only take a step.
"Jace, don't," Clary said quickly. "Don't go after him."
"But the cup," said Jace. She could not tell what he was thinking, but the blade in his hand was shaking violently as his hand shook.
"Let the Clave get it, Jace, please. If you go through that portal, you might never come back. Valentine will kill you. You don't want to believe it, but he will."
"Your sister is right."
Valentine was standing amid green grass and wildflowers, the blades waving around his feet. And Clary realized that though he and they were inches away from each other, they stood in different countries.
"Do you really think you can win this? Though you have a seraph blade and I am unarmed? Not only am I stronger than you, but I doubt you have it in you to kill me. And you will have to kill me, Jonathan, before I'll give the cup to you."
Jace tightened his grip on the angel blade.
"I can."
"No, you can't."
Valentine reached out through the portal and seized Jace's wrist in his hand, dragging it forward until the tip of the seraph blade touched his chest. Where Jace's hand and wrist passed through the portal, they seemed to shimmer as if they had been cast in water.
"Do it then," said Valentine. "Drive the blade in. 3 inches, maybe 4.
He jerked the blade forward,
The dagger's tip sliced